All right, Blessing, I want to read you something and then I'm going to ask you a question, okay?
Okay, thank you, Quentin.
Who am I without a dream? How do I live? How do I breathe? Without a reason, a purpose, a heartbeat. I am a dreamer, filled with possibilities, staring at the end in sight. As I weather the storms alongside other dreamers, oh, but why do I dream? When sometimes dreams never come true. Oh, darling, without dreams, life is not worth living. I will lay on my bed and dream some more, and wake up with action steps. To make my dreams a reality, I will dream again and again, for someday they will come to life. That's the foreword in your book. They told us to dream. And there's two things that really stood out to me in that. And the first one was, life is not worth living without dreams, which I love and I absolutely agree with. And then the other thing that you pointed out is that you were going to wake up with action items. So my first question to you, Blessing, how can one start thinking about building and creating their own dreams? Should we base it on morality? Should we base it on materialism? What are your ideas?
Wow. So thank you so much for having me on the show today, on the podcast today. You know, it's been like years since we last spoke, but you know, it's been like, I want to show you myself. Like, this is amazing. You know, I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. Yeah. Well done for living out this dream of like having a podcast, having your company. You're doing it. Well done. Proud of you.
So, thank you, Blessing. Thank you.
You're welcome. So that's where I'm going to start from. You know, like, what are we without dreams? And your question is that, how should one think about building your dreams, right? Should it be based on morals? Should it be based on of achievements or materialism? So how do you build a dream? Like, for me, my dreams, like, kind of define me part time. I try to run away from them, and they keep finding me. So, like, when I was, like, really young, when did I start writing? I just had this desire to, like, write a poem because I'd read a poetry book. And I was like, how do people write this? This is amazing. This is interesting. And I began to cry. And I began, like, I think that's where the inspiration came from. I had this desire, this hunger to write poetry. And then I began to pen down my first poem. So in building that dream of becoming a writer, becoming a poet, I worked on, I would say the building blocks for that was passion. I had a passion for writing. I had a passion for poetry. And I think that was something that was like the foundation of it. So, like, how does someone build a dream? How do you start with what you're passionate about as much as possible? Because passion drives you, especially during the tough period of starting out, you know, it keeps you going.
Yeah.
You know, how people tell you, I'm passionate about music, or I'm passionate about blogging, or I'm passionate about, you know, talking. I love to talk. I'm passionate about meeting people. When you see someone with a passion, that's already a building block. That is the foundation, you know, that helps you to start out. So take passion and put it as your foundation. And then when you start out, because it gets really difficult to continue, like, that's what people don't tell you about. So you have a dream, you're passionate, I'm really happy for you. But you find the same person, like, 2 years later, but like, oh, what happened? How fast your music career? Just like, you know what? I'm done. No, it's a lot of work, you know? I'm done.
Yes.
Or like, you took people tell me, like, oh, I love to write, but I can't go after I wrote. I'm just like, what happened? And you know, because passion is not enough. That's what you're like.
I agree.
Passion is great, but that's a foundation. You need to keep building. The second building block you need to have is you need to be consistent. You need to act consistently. You know, starting out is good, but continuing is better. You need to, like, wake up every day, tell yourself that, you know what? I don't feel like writing, but I'm going to get to it. This was also a part of a quote that really struck me as a writer. He's like, told us that, oh, you know what? I love to write. I write all the time. actually at 9 a.m. every day. So that was intentional.
Yes.
That was consistent. Like, I'm going to write at 9 a.m. every day. You know, I'm not just going to dream of writing. I'm going to sign up to get to work. You know, so the second building block, like after you're done with the foundational passion, you need to stay consistent. You need to act again and again, even, you know, through the high times, through the low times, you need to keep going. So like, I'm going to leave those two building blocks for now, because I know we're going to build on those,
sure,
on the question as we go along. But passion,
yeah,
and consistency. So you have your dreams, you're passionate about them, you keep going. That's the way to build, yeah, a dream. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think you're hitting on it the way that I'm looking at it too. Like, when we talk about passion, I think one of the most important aspects of passion that we tend to leave out when we're talking about our dreams is authenticity, yeah, right?
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people will curate dreams based on what they want other people to perceive of them. And that doesn't necessarily reflect who they are as individuals. And I think, to your point,
yeah,
earlier, if you're not authentic, if you're not passionate about your dream, you'll never end up being consistent. Right. You have,
yeah,
to have that first building block to be passionate about something in order to be consistent over time, in order to wake up every day and chase that dream. Right. Because,
yeah,
I can attest, like, I am really excited about this journey that I'm on, but,
yeah,
blessing, this is one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I think when I messaged you yesterday, I think I told you I was putting out a fire. Right. And that's all I do,
so,
is put out fires,
wow,
you know? But the thing is I wake up every day with that same vigor and excitement,
yeah,
for chasing this passion and chasing this dream. So I love that. I think,
yeah,
that's really, really good. And just to add to it, I would just say, like, if you can sprinkle in an element of authenticity, that's only going to put fuel on the fire to that passion. Right.
Exactly.
The other thing that I let me ask you this, do you think that, I mean, passion is great, and obviously there's people out there that have the dream to, you know, be writers or be painters or be artists in some sort, and you can be passionate about it and you can be disciplined about it, but do you think that there's an element of purpose that should be involved? Because I know that you're very, you know, you're very religious, so you believe in God, and a lot of the writings that you have are very religious oriented, which I love, but that also adds,
yeah,
an element of purpose. You know, it adds that element of purpose, which I think kind of, you know, goes into discipline and passion as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Quentin. You know, you actually, like,
of course,
started out with the response to that. Cause when you talk about authenticity, that we don't talk about that enough, you know, because,
right,
people tend to leave out dreams of others. And I'll explain. It's like a young child, and then you see your father or your mom was always told, you know what, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, or you're going to be an accountant. This is what you're going to be, you know, when you grow up. You see that child that has this passion to be an artist or a painter, or, you know, that's what we talk about. The child wants to be like a lawyer, not a doctor. Let's keep it like within the professional, you know,
yeah,
band, you know. So it's not the child, because the child is just like, you know, I don't like medical stuff. I want to be a lawyer. I'd rather write. I'd rather,
right,
speak. I'd rather read volumes, you know. And then the child is struggling through, you know, medical school, you know, and,
yeah,
things of that nature. Not that medical school is bad, you know, but the child doesn't have the passion for it. Now that's leaving out someone else's dream. That, and then,
right,
you realize that there's the frustration that comes with it. You know, there's the talk might go through a lot of periods where they try to give up, but the whole push from the parents might keep the child going. But some children come to the point where it's like, you know what, this is your dream, not mine. I'm going to face my own,
right,
dream. I'm going to go to law school, or maybe, you know what, and,
right,
then like leave medical school alone. There are a lot of complications that go along the way. But the child finishes medical,
yeah,
school and then goes back to law school, does double, you know. But that's the part of, like, that's the one, bring it down to the creative space. Like, if you're not authentic about your dreams, you don't know how to go about it. You tend to give up more easily. Now, when you talk about purpose coming into it, the thing about purpose is that it's what you're created to do. It's like who you are. That's the best way of being your authentic self. That's you being in your own niche. That's you being in your own, that's living in your own skin, you know? So I found my purpose at a really young age. I think was for that. I knew I was born to write, to like speak, to like sell my books and, you know, and that happened to me at a really young age. And I'm really grateful for that because not everyone has the opportunity, you know, but that's the reason why we're having this podcast today to tell people that, you know what, it's possible to find your purpose at a young age or whatever age you're at currently and live out that purpose, because that's the best way of being your authentic self. That's the best way of not getting frustrated through life's journey, because it can get really difficult. You know, you talked about you putting out fires yesterday. I'm like, you know, that's life of an entrepreneur. I understand. I get it, you know. It is what it is. You know?
Yeah.
But like, if you don't have the what have you, the authenticity for that, if you don't think that's your dream, but like, you know, I'm done. I'm not coming back here. What am I even doing? You know, I'm going to go. I'm going to move on. But once you know that is your true self, that's what you're created to be, to do, you're going to come back the next day. You're here today. You're back on work. You're back to work, you know, because, you know, this is who I am. This is what I love to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, finding out a purpose. It's like, you know, I talked about the building. That's like, that's what you're going to like. That's what's going to keep you, you know, when you're done building your house. That's like, that's what you're going to complete the building with. Because you're like, at the end of the day, this is what I was born to do. This is what I was created to do. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to do it for man or woman. I'm not going to do it for my parents or my spouse or, I don't know, my siblings. I'm going to do it because this is what God created me for. And that we don't talk about that enough. That keeps you going. Yeah. That keeps you authentic. And that's what actually gives you the reward. You know, you go to sleep at night and just feel like you've done something today. That is rewarding. So, yeah, building your dreams on the block of purpose is something that will keep you going for a lifetime. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. No, I love that. And obviously we're on the same page here. Earlier you mentioned that when you were younger, you were kind of a little bit, I guess, coy or shy about your dream, but it kept coming back to you. Can you maybe give me a little bit, can you elaborate a little bit on, like, you know, what exactly were you going through? Were you just resistant to the idea of being a writer? Is it something that maybe you were scared to tell your parents or your family, or like, what were you running from exactly?
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Because when you tell people like you're creative, they be like, oh, so how you gonna make money from that? Like, how you gonna pay the bills, you know? What are you gonna do with that? Like, the one that really hits me, painting, is when people tell everybody can write. I'm like, okay. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
It's just like, totally. You know, having to defend my dreams, like, it took a toll on me. Because, like, what they expect, you know, a teenager to do is go to school. When you're done with school, you get a degree. When you're done getting a degree, you get a job. When you're out of your teenage years, then you literally, like, you start working, any money, your career is booming. I'm like, okay, that's all good. That's all well and good. Like, we'll do that. And it's okay. How about this passion for writing, you know? So that made me really like shy away from building my writing career. But what helped me, Quentin, what really helped me was that I found a way to combine my writing with my work, with my schooling, with my career. You know, I just like, you know, when I'm carrying this along with me, you know, I didn't know how to drop it. Because there was a time I had to like, but I think my parents were really supporting. My dad didn't understand while I was doing a lot of things. But my mom was like, okay, well, you're doing it, we support you. But okay, at least you're working. So I had to, I think what people need to do is to find a creative way of achieving your dreams part time, you know? How to pull along that creativity with you while you're achieving all that, while you're also doing what what the world would expect you to do. Because there's some things that instead of having to argue all the time, like having to defend yourself all the time, just like, you know what, okay, you want me to get a job, but I'll be writing my blog. Are we okay with that? You know, so Why did I shy away from writing? Because I didn't know how to defend it. Oh, now I'm a writer. We didn't have people like Chimamanda until like, you know, until the, like this recent times of like the 2000s, you know, when my parents were younger, nobody wanted their child to be like, you know, a writer, because what are you going to do with that? What, you know, that's why they had to like go for like other professions and everything. In recent years, in the last 20, 10, 15, 10 years, I was still talking about creative souls for creatives. And it's so like interesting. Like, I think you remember, one of our colleagues from the NBA, Marian, she was telling me like, that Monet was like not a painter. I think it was a painter, the Monet, M-O-N-E-T.
Yeah,
he was
a
rich
Monet.
Man of his time. He was rich. But like he was like an exception, you know, because most of the people that were painters in his time ended up, they died poor. You know, so it's like people don't know how, I didn't know how to defend being a creative.
Yeah.
With all the expectations of you need to have a car, you need to make money, how are you going to make money from that? But what I did was, because I could connect it to my purpose, I could defend it as being part of my purpose. I was like, if I don't do this, God is going to ask me why I didn't do it. So like, I'm going to carry with me. I'm going to keep going. You know, I'm making a career, but I'm going to make this my career eventually. And that's what I've tried to do for the past 12 years with Blessing Shares. You know, Blessing Shares is a brand that marries creativity, mentorship, writing, publishing. So with that brand, I've carried that brand along with me for 20 years. So yeah, for like over 12 years, you know, and I'm just like, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep this as a passion, as a purpose work for now. And one day it's going to create wealth from, it's currently like, there's a registered company bit of it. It's going to be my career soon enough.
Yeah.
You know, I'm transiting, I'm walking through the corporate world, but I'm going to transit eventually into this passion, into those purpose. It's going to make wealth for me. That's a quote I came up with a long time ago. It said, if you walk on it long enough, it's going to be a great brand. It's going to create wealth for you. So that's what I'm doing. So I was a shy child, you know, I didn't have to defend the profit bit of it, but I carried it along. And so far, you know, one day it's going to like stick for
yes,
me. Yeah,
absolutely.
So thank you.
Yeah, I think a couple of things that I want to touch on there. First of all, I just want to commend you and just give you a lot of, you know, respect, and the fact that you were a little bit nervous about moving forward with your dream, and you stayed resilient, and you're still resilient in that process, and you're driven, and you're not going to give up. And I think if there's one thing that I could, I want to take away from this conversation, and what I've taken away from your book, is that there's going to be highs and lows to chasing our dream. But the fact of the matter is that if you give up on your dream, then you're letting it die. So just show up every day and be, you know, and just be the best version of yourself, and remember what your purpose is. I also think a lot of people tend to let their dreams fall to the wayside because of either social expectations. You know, I mean, obviously as an American, we're so focused on making money. And so we make a career out of making money, as opposed to thinking about what we're passionate about and what we're excited about and what our purpose is. And being a writer has got to be one of the most challenging ways to make money, I can imagine, because there's a lot of people out there that want to write a lot of books. But you've stayed resilient. And I think that's the key to everything, right? Is not giving up. You're 12 years into this journey, and you're still moving forward. So I love that. I really, everything you just said, it hits me so hard, because, you know, in order for me to chase the dream that I'm on right now, I had to give up a certain lifestyle, but I feel like I'm doing this for a reason, and I have a purpose behind it, you know? So, that was amazing. I really appreciate you saying that. I want to move on to the next question, because we could go all day on this. In your book. Yeah, I know. In your book, you talk about a moment, and I have a quote here, and it is, I come to understand that every dreamer will one day be put on a pedestal. In such a moment, we must take up the role and act immediately. And I love this quote. My question for you is, how can we identify those moments? Because sometimes in those moments, we get really scared and we tend to deflect and we tend to want to run away from those moments. Mm-hmm. How do you look at it? Do you get strength from God? Do you just have something that intuitively tells you that you need to act on it? Are you somebody that has had to learn this skill to want to act in those moments? Or kind of what's your reflection on that?
Thank you so much for that question, Quentin, because yes, it's like a moment where opportunity meets with preparation. So to start, I actually get strength from God for those moments, because like, I'm just like, I need grace from this, you know? Because when I wrote that chapter, it was like, I was in my first year from university, I think that's college in the U.S.
Yes.
And then they told me to come lead the opening prayers. And I'm just like, no, I can't do that. I'm a freshman. I can't do that. I just got here. I can't do that. So what happened was that I realized that it came from a desire that I had to lead. And this was an opportunity, you know, to be on this pedestal, to be on stage, to lead prayers, you know. And what I did was like, that was my first vigil. I did like all that preparation, like looking through Bible verses, looking through like quotes, looking through. I watched the movie like to just encourage myself, and I just kept on praying through. But what? It's so funny because she used like the whole night to prepare for 2 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
But what happened was that it worked out. It actually worked out. God helped me. I was prepared. And then I was able to lead the opening prayer. People were clapping. I'm like, why are they clapping? I'm just like, yeah, for me, it was good. I didn't faint on stage. Which, that was the best part. But like, how do you identify these opportunities? You think about when your preparation meets your opportunities, that you will kind of feel it coming. You will feel it coming. You know, there's always a season where an artist or creative knows that, you know, I'm about to have a good break, a clean break. I'm about to have like the next thing coming. You'll feel it coming. In that period, what I advise people to do is to start preparing. Start preparing as if it's going to happen tomorrow, because you're going to sense that something is about to move, something's about to shift. So start working towards it. Start having like, go longer hours into the night. You know, there's a quote that inspired me for a very long time. It said, the heights reached and kept by great men was not attained by sudden flights. But they, while their companions slept, they kept falling upward. They kept working into the nines, you know? So like, even though you have to like do longer hours as an entrepreneur, I could ask you how many hours you work. It might not be 8 hours. It might be literally more than 8 hours a day. You know, even when you have to do all of that, I wrote my first book, I was writing at night. Because when I had to publish, I was going through weekend shadows and I was working and publishing. So like my Saturdays were gone. Now, when your preparation is about to meet your opportunity, you will know. You realize that you have this urge to work longer hours. Go for it. Do not give up. Do not get discouraged. Because when the opportunity comes, you realize that you're ready. And there's no better feeling than being ready for an opportunity when it comes. Because this is what you've always wanted. This is where you've always wanted to be. I always wanted to be on to like lead, you know, and the opportunity came. And because I read like books, I literally was in the library reading books, and I don't know why I was reading books. But I was just reading books because I was sensing that I was going to come, you know. I was just reading quotes. I was writing down new words and all of that. I was just like reading scriptures, writing down my best verses. I didn't know why I was doing that, but I was sensing something was about to happen. So when that comes, how do you identify it? You know that you realize that, you know what, I'm prepared for something. I don't know what it is. That's one way of identifying it. Just realize that I'm getting charged up and I don't know why. That's one way of identifying that something's about to come. And then when it happens, go for it. It's not easy. I was reading on LinkedIn the other day that someone was talking about how she was always very shy. She passed off, like she just literally said no to a leadership position because she was like, how can this be me? How can I do it? You know, when the time comes, there's this urge to say no and do it. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to ask someone to do it, but let me get back to you. You know, let me see what I can do. You know, if you have cold feet, that's okay. If you're having like, if you're jittery, if you're stammering, that's okay. Just like, give me like, let me sleep on it. I'll be back. Let me come back tomorrow. You know, if the window is to open, but if you have taken on the spot, just say, oh yes, I can do it. The way you're done, say I can do it. Go figure out how you get it done. You know. But if the window is open to say, you know what, get back to us, okay, just let me sleep on it. But no matter what you do, take it. You know, as long as it's not against your morals, your values, as long as this is what you've been praying for, this is what you've been waiting for, go for it. Now, how would you do it? God's gonna help you. Your preparation is gonna help you. Some people believe that you just pray and don't work. I don't do that. You pray and you work. They go hand in hand. You know, faith without works is dead. You can't just like pray and leave the work part. Who's going to do it for you? God's not going to come down and do the work for you. You have to do the work for yourself. So like, you need to be prepared prayerfully. If you pray, do it. Pray through. There are people that don't pray that also do it and they're getting results. Well, I'm a Christian, so I do the prayers and the work. So like, put those two together. I don't think any challenge can be greater than what you can achieve, you know? You can summon like the greatest mountains, and from there you can do things that you don't even believe you did. You'd be like, oh, what's that mean? I don't even believe that. What did I just happen? You know, yeah, that was true. Like, oh wow, dude, that was gone, you know. But this is what I've experienced in my life. Preparation, meeting opportunities, and you just know when the opportunity is coming. You just realize that something is about to shift. And it does shift. It does shift. And yeah. That's I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, no, that
Yeah.
is I was curious where you're going to go with that, but to be totally transparent, I think that's the perfect answer, right? Preparation is so important. I think that what's the saying, like, luck is when preparation meets opportunity,
It's
right? So you're
opportunity.
basically creating your own luck, you know, and I love that. I think that's so fantastic in terms of opportunity or in terms of preparation. I mean, I could elaborate for days on this. I think not only is preparation super important to take and seize the opportunities when they present themselves, but I also feel like in the effort of preparing for something, you open up your own doors, right? Yeah, that's when, you know, because you put yourself in a position where you're meeting other people or the opportunities present themselves in ways or fashions that you might not otherwise recognize. And then to your point earlier, I'm a huge believer. Like I'm not super religious. I've been praying, and I do think there is an element of having conversations with, you know, the God, if you will, or an intelligent being out there. I think it's important that we speak into existence what we want to come to fruition. But you mentioned something that I am a huge believer in, and that's hard work and putting in the work to do it, right? And making sure that you're fully capable of seizing the opportunity when it comes to you. So I think you hit it right on the head. I'm really, really impressed with that answer. I think preparation is the absolute best way to know when the opportunities present themselves, right? Because
Exactly.
you're also confident. You're also confident and you're willing to take that chance, and and like the idea of just do it. Just do it. If you're not prepared, you'll never have the confidence to just do it.
Exactly.
So I think preparation is a fantastic answer on that. Absolutely. I really, really appreciate you saying that.
Oh, so you're welcome.
So you talk about a manifesto, and
The
the way
work
that
first.
I kind of yeah, and the way that I kind of looked at this was almost like you're architecting your dreams and coming up with a game plan, an idea of how things are going to come together, how you're going to, you know, achieve your goals, what action steps you're going to take. But what I've learned in my own experience is that unfortunately, not everything that you visualize comes to fruition. So my question is, how do you adapt to that? How do you change? Do you change your mentality? Do you change the action steps in of themselves, or do you stay resilient? Do you keep on the path? Do you keep moving forward? Like, what is your like, how do you adapt to the vision that you've come up with not going exactly the way you want it to go, but also accepting that and then moving forward with it.
Thank you so much for that question. You know, that question is like a million dollar question, like any day, because you just like, I noticed what I was supposed to be doing, but it's not happening the way I thought it would happen. And it's been years.
Totally.
What do you do then? Yeah, please, Dwayne. You want to drink your water? What shape of here? Are you good?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, I'm good.
So you just like, how do I want to, you know, let's do this. I'm about to drink water, so 1 minute.
Sure. Sure, of course. Yeah, take your time. No, and while you're doing it, I think when we architect our dreams and we start to come up with these manifestos, I think what's important is that we plan for things not going perfectly.
Exactly.
And that we it's almost if you go into it with the expectation that it has to go from A to B to C to D, then you're almost setting yourself up for failure. And you kind of have to go into it with like, look, I'm at the starting line and my goal is on the other side of the valley. But in between the starting line and the end point, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have obstacles that you have to go through, that you have to navigate. And just being able to approach a dream and a goal, knowing that is what you're in store for, I think that helps set people up for success as well.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Because like when you were talking about that, I just remembered a visual that I saw on social media. You know how you think you're going in a straight line? This is how it should go. It should be A to B, and it should be a straight line. And it ends up being like this. It's like zigzags, like high, low. It goes up, it goes down. That's what it is. Because you're like, this is where I want to go. I want to be like the best entrepreneur in my field. I want to be like an international bestseller as a writer. That is where I'm going now. In getting there, I'm thinking, you know, this should take 5 years, it should take 10 years. I mean, it should not be that hard, you know? And then you realize that today I'm a writer, tomorrow, okay, I think I need to go to work, and to next tomorrow I'm back to write it. And you realize that what you need to do is to find creative ways of achieving your dreams for time. And I'm just going to be real with you, Quentin. My only dream was not just to write. My dream is to be a media personality, like have my talk show, have my media house, you know, that's like writing is a part of the dream.
Yeah.
So by now I thought to myself, like, by now I should be on TV, you know, I should have like my media house going on, you know, but that hasn't happened yet. And what I realized was that what could be a way of achieving my dreams for time. Because if you read the book, which I'm grateful that you have, and I thank you for this interview, because when I talked about achieving a dream, I'm like, you have to realize that a dream is achieved part time, emphasis on part time. You know, this is what you want to do. Now, while you're getting to point B, which is the end point in this case, you might have to do other things to achieve that dream part time.
Right.
Now, my TV, my being on TV, my dream of being on TV, I've achieved that dream part time. First time was when I was back in college, in university back in Nigeria. I launched my talk show, and it was like, it wasn't on TV, but we had a hall going on. It was a Blessing Okoro show. We had a hall going on. We invited a guest speaker, a key, we gave, like, everything was on point. We had pictures and videos. That wasn't on TV, but that was a show. That was the launch of the show. And then I was like, you know, what can we do next? We had, at a point, we had hangouts. We had, like, regular hangouts where we invited, like, a group of people. We had a various theme for each month. That happened, like, in 2014. Now, okay, where do we go from here then? I was like, oh, let me start blogging. And this was like in tune with my passion for writing. So I started writing and I started having interviews on the blog. So I interviewed some people, I posted the interviews, and I said, what am I going to do on the show? I'm going to be interviewing people. I'm going to have like personalities that just come up and talk about their dreams of like been like million-dollar entertainers, all of that. It's a fact that, you know. So what I've done so far is achieve the dream part time, because I know there'll be a time for it to be on TV. And it's what we even talked about. Preparation, you know. You realize that when you finally get to point B, you're prepared for that point. You're prepared for that. You're ready for that. I've been doing this all along. This is just a different platform at this stage, but it's the same dream. So when we talk about, oh, you know what? I don't think my dream is happening the way I envisioned it to happen. So what are you doing to achieve your dreams for time? What creative ways are you achieving that dream? It's really simple. Like I talked about a young child that had a dream of like singing in the opera, and then the child stays in front of her mirror and she's singing to an audience of one. And one day the child is going to sing to an audience of five. And in the school play, they're like, oh, we're looking for a singer. Oh, yeah, I can sing soprano and all of that. And the child sings to an audience of maybe 1,000. And next thing, she joins like a show going on in a city, and she's going to sing to an audience of 10,000. That child is going to keep singing to an audience, and the number is just going to keep increasing. But she's still on the platform. She's on her way. She'll go and sing at the opera someday to an audience of millions of people. So now, find creative ways of achieving your dreams for time. You might not be on TV yet. I might not be on TV yet, but I'm on a podcast today. I'm talking. I'm still going to talk on when I'm on TV, you know? You might not have like your company where you want it to be, but you've sent it out. You're already putting out fires. You're still going to put out fires when you have your company where you want it to be. So what we should do as dreamers is we should find creative ways of achieving our dreams for time. And I cannot emphasize this enough. Yeah. You don't give up on a dream because you're not at point B yet. You say, you know what, I'm going to keep putting it in small pockets until I get to that point.
Yes.
Now the highs and the lows, that's a constant. You know, you keep, even when you're on point B, you're still like shifting, you know, but you know when you get there, you're there. But while you're not yet there, find creative ways of achieving the dreams for time. Keep going.
Yeah.
No matter how far away it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think creativity is a big part of it. I mean, for a couple of reasons, right? Because first of all, like we're it's never going to be a straight line. It's never A to B to C to Z, right?
Yeah.
It's always going to be kind of like this entangled mess of trying to figure it out and thinking that you've got to figure it out, but then realizing that you don't. So you have to go back and iterate and reiterate. And then also, you know, look, being creative is just, it's another avenue to explore new opportunities. When you're being creative, then you have the ability to start thinking about things in a way that maybe you didn't think about previously.
Yeah.
I know that you're talking about how you want to have your own media, entertainment, you know, empire. I'm going to call it empire because you're going to get there. I have full faith in you. But you put in the work every day and you show up and you're prepared to take, you know, to seize opportunities. And now you're on a podcast. And I watched your YouTube video, I think that you were on like 4 weeks ago, where you were talking about, you know, publishing and you were going through the whole process of what that goes in. And so you're constantly taking advantage of new opportunities that maybe you didn't think were going to come your way. And creativity is really, really important because, look, you have to be creative. You have to be creative, right? There's going to be a lot of competition out there there's other people that want to have their own media empire. Well, again, there's not a straight line. So you've got to figure out how to make it work, and nothing's going to fit perfectly into the puzzle. So being creative is essential. So I really, really, I love that answer. My next question is there ever a situation where somebody should give up on their dream?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know what?
You know?
Yeah.
Cause I think we romanticize the idea of dreams, and don't get me wrong. I'm not going to give up on mine anytime soon, but I also think that there's a time and place where we should be realistic about our dream and maybe pulling back a little bit, not necessarily, you know, killing it off completely. But I'm somebody who's very logical, and I try to think about things in a very pragmatic way. And so I'm just curious if, like, is there ever a situation where we should adapt the end state of our goal? Not giving up on our goal, but the end state of our goal.
Yeah. So now adapting, yes. There's a time to adapt, you know, because I'm thinking on the top of my head. Like when the responsibilities change, you know, or when life changes, you know, there's a time to adapt the dream the way you envisioned it to be. Yeah. Now, giving up is a separate subject. Like, should you give up? And I think the reason why adaptation is better than giving up is because what people think of when they're older are the dreams that they did not achieve. You know, it's just like, oh, I wanted to be this. And I think that's what actually started me off to talk about dream actualization, because I grew up with, like, elderly people, apart from my siblings and I mean, every other person was either, like, someone that was, like, talking to us on how life should go. That's what my book decided. They told us to dream. They literally told us to dream. They told us this is what you should achieve your dreams, you know? And the reason why they told us that, because they didn't achieve theirs. You know?
Yeah.
That's a sad reality, because, the reason
why
they told us
that. That's a really good point.
Yeah. And I don't want to tell my children that I didn't achieve my dreams and they should go on to achieve theirs, you know? I'm not talking about my parents. I'm talking about, like, the last spectrum of elderly people I grew up with, the people that had given up on, like, a particular thing they were supposed to do, you know? So I don't have to tell the younger generation that I will mentor later on in life that, you know what, I was supposed to do this, but I couldn't. But I want to be able to tell them that I was supposed to do this. I couldn't do it the way I wanted to, but I was able to adapt the dream part-time. Because I'm thinking, like, responsibilities change, you know, and it brings me back to the point, you know, I came into, like, Canada and I had bills to pay, and I couldn't say, you know what, I just want to sell my books. No, I had to go to work. I had to go to a 9-to-5 job. It's like the books could not pay the level of bills that I had to pay, you know, so I'm able to adapt my dreams for time to the circumstances or conditions that are happening, but I don't want to have to give up on them. I pray I don't want to, you know, because I don't want to be older and then wondering, oh, I could have done that when I was younger. When I could have tried to be consistent, you know. So now there's another spectrum of the call. There's like some dreams that you just like, this is taking a toll on me and I need to let it go. And that's a different conversation in town. You're like, it's taking a toll. Even like, it's becoming the cost is looking more weighty than the benefit, you know? That's a different conversation. Do you need to reduce the load of the dream? Because it's that possibility. You can say, you know, I think my dream is to travel to various nations, like 50 nations, to do this particular thing, but don't want to reduce it to 5. You know, because the weight of the dream is bigger than I can accommodate at this stage, you know. That's why I keep referring to part-time. At this time, I can only do 5, then do 5. I mean, there may be a time to do 15, then do 15, you know. So part-time, do what you can to achieve that dream.
Yeah.
Adapt to what is going on. And this is not being lazy. This is when you've done all you can. After you've done everything you can do, I can only reach 5 countries. Then reach 5 countries. After you've done everything you can do, I can only take on 5 clients. Then take on 5 clients. After you've done everything you can do, I can only sell 500 copies of the book. Then sell 500 copies. You know, I can hit 1 million at this stage. Then sell 5. There'll be a time that after you've hit 500, there'll be a season will shift where you can sell 1 million copies. A season will shift where you can take on 50 clients, a season will shift, where you can finally go to 50 nations. So if it's getting weighty, if you cannot sleep at night, if your blood pressure is high, if it's affecting your health, reduce the load
of the drink part. No, I love that. I love that. I mean, that's that you're such a glass half full person. And so I really appreciate that response, because again, I think it does come down to being adaptable.
Yeah.
Obviously when you're first starting off and you're building your dream and you're coming up with the manifesto and you're architecting it to a certain degree, you also have to be realistic and understand what you can actually take on and what resources and opportunities you have at your disposal right then and there. I'm not one to shy away from big dreams. I think people who shoot for the moon are the people who succeed the most. And that's always been my belief. But I do think that, being able to be realistic, not even at the beginning, but at the, in the middle of your journey is also important. And then adapting to it, I can't say that word for whatever reason, but to be adaptable in the moment, I think is really, really important. So I appreciate that. Good. I have some questions for you. I want to move on to our second part here, because I'm really curious. I in this journey, I'm really trying to take on more of an intellectual perspective on the subjects that I learn. And one way that I'm doing this is I'm trying to write like these mini essays. So I'll write like an essay about, like a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the difference between contentment and complacency and what that means. And so I wrote like a little essay. I haven't released it or anything, but I want to start putting it up on LinkedIn and some other areas on social media. But for me, I think sitting down and writing really allows me to put things into perspective and to learn better. But I'm not being very creative, right? I'm not writing stories per se. I'm just kind of writing down my thoughts. And I kind of want to know how do you write? Do you have a particular way of sitting down and coming up with these ideas? Do they just come to you? Do you have to force it? Do you have to sit and write and then leave for a little bit and come back? Like, what's your writing process look like?
Thank you for that question. Because as a writer, my writing process is really from experiences. I write from experiences. So if you read a lot of chapters in my book, I'm talking about something that happened. And I'm a storyteller. I tell stories and I just write them, I tell you, what happened, when I was 11, how I tried to write my first poem. And I bring it into, inspiration. And I mirror it with a lesson of how inspiration is important to achieve dreams, to live out dreams. And then I have the gift of poetry. I write poems. And poetry for me is not something that comes from experiences, but I might be going through something that might trigger a poem. I kind of have to be overwhelmed, very happy or very sad, or just to write a poem. So those ones come when they come,
Yeah.
But what I want to do actually, Quentin, is to go into a school to learn fiction writing. Because I currently do nonfiction. I want to go learn fiction writing because I want to write fiction books also. I want to write children and books for children also. So I love that you brought up that question. What is your writing process? My writing process has been so far from experiences, but it's I've gotten to a point where those things are they look normal to me now. So because I want to go to another stage where I'm trying out something new. So I want to try fiction writing. I know to write fiction, I'm going to go study on how to write fiction, do fictional writing and all of that. So my writing process is something that it literally came to me at a very young age. And I tried as much as possible to keep honing the skill of writing. I made a lot of mistakes. Just on blog posts I read, I'm just like, okay. Yeah, but what happened was that I got feedback and I took that positively, And because I was not scared, I wasn't afraid to put up my work, right? Because most writers and the thing that separates a published writer from a non-published writer is that the published writers were not scared to put out their works, their written pieces. But the non-published writers are like, I don't want people to judge me. I'm not sure what they would say. They're going to say what they're going to say. But you need to just overcome that fear, You just need to put it out there. So when I start my blog, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to post this. I put it out there. And I have about 100 posts on my blog. I blogged for over 10 years and that built my confidence. Like, so the process became, oh, from inspiration, from experiences, I put them out there to like, oh, accepting criticism, you know, but like, let's hear it, you know, let me know what I could do better, you know, what I could do less, you know, well, maybe you should not write too much about your personal experiences, try and mirror it into a lesson so that it doesn't look like you're telling too much. And okay, I can use that, you know. So like whenever I'm writing about an experience, I mirror it into a lesson so it becomes relatable. I'm not just talking about what has happened in my personal life, but I'm actually telling a story and sharing a lesson, you know. Except when writing a memoir. If I'm writing a memoir, then it's strictly what happened, like personal. So when I started a community, which was really interesting, so the writing process went from inspiration to putting it out there to writing a book to getting overcoming the fear of what would they say, what would people say, to receiving like, oh, that was actually good. You wrote really well. I enjoyed reading your book. I'm like, okay. So when I got to a point where I'm like, I think I'm there now. I think I should stop writing. So I got to a point where I stopped writing, which was really funny because I just told myself, you know what? I have one book. The book was like really good, the first book. And I was like, what am I doing next? So there's also we don't talk about it enough. There's the backside of the blessing, you know? When you get blessed, you don't realize that, you know what? I think I'm done. So I got to a point where I thought I was done. And I remember talking about this during one of a session I had in 2020. I had gotten to a point where I was recovering as a dreamaholic. And I titled it I'm a recovering dreamaholic. Like, I dreamt so well, I achieved my dreams so well, and I got tired. I got fed up. I was like, what am I doing next? I've already done what I wanted to do. But that wasn't it. The goal wasn't to give up because I had achieved success in quotes. The goal was to realize that those were results, you know?
Right.
Writing the book was a result, you know? Having good comments on the book was a result. What the dream was is being able to say, you know what, this is my purpose and I will keep living it out until like till the end, you know?
Yeah.
And the process of writing came back to me after I realized that it wasn't just about writing books. That's good. It was about living out a purpose because writing was what I was born to do. And then now I included something else that helps me, that keeps me going. And I think that we don't talk about that enough. People don't talk about the beauty of having a community.
Yeah.
I came up with a community for female writers. And that's like what we have master classes on how to write and publish your books, how to end from writing. That has helped my writing process because now I don't need to write every day to write, to stay in the game, to have writing as a career. Like the last time I wrote was my LinkedIn post that I put up like a night ago, 2 nights ago. But I just have that consciousness that I was going to write. And because I'm accountable to these people, I cannot even just wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm done. No.
Yeah.
So like the process is something that has grown over time. And I like what you said about you have like you write essays, you believe that writing helps you to like bring your ideas to life. You know? So I might not write every day by 9 a.m. But what I'm sure of is that I have to defend that I'm a writer at every point in time. So I keep in touch. I always have my notepad going on. I always try as much as possible to put my thoughts into written pieces. I always like try as much as possible to like keep talking and encouraging others to write, you know, keep talking about it, you know. It comes to a point in your life where you might not be doing the brown work anymore, but you know that at every point you can wake up any day, sorry, and then you're still like able to do that groundwork. So what I'm saying in essence is that my writing process has grown over time.
Yeah.
But what I keep in touch with is a pen and the paper. I always have that with me. And when I'm done with this, I'm going to write about this extract of the podcast, because that way I'm always in sync with the idea that, you know what, writing what I do, and I have to keep doing that consistently. So,
yeah. I love that. I think that's great. And I think that when we try to take a break, we tend to lose our skill set. So like, I'm always writing, you know, even when I'm just like commenting on other people's posts, I try to do it in a way that like I'm practicing that skill set of writing in essay form. I don't just say, oh, that's cool, that's great. Like, I give like a full thought, and I try to use, you know, very vivid words when I do it. And maybe it looks a little pretentious, but it's just my way of being able to practice that skill set. So I think that just that constant, you know, practice and putting in the work, and, you know, even if it's, you know, a couple of things, a couple of words or whatever, you're keeping that sharp, that skill set nice and sharp, so that when you need to use it again, it's going to be, usable, right?
Yeah.
And then I also want to touch on, there's one other thing that I wanted to call out that you said that I thought was really good, was, I think that there's, especially when we're talking about like the creative arts, whether that be writing or putting out content, there's always this balance between, putting something out that you think other people are going to like, but still being authentic to yourself. Right. Yeah. And that gets really, really tricky. And I think what you kind of came back to full circle was remembering what your purpose was. And I think that was really good, right? Like we tend to get caught up in wanting to impress other people, you know, do I sound smart enough? Am I being able to, you know, verbalize my emotions in a proper way? Can I articulate this in the way that I want to, but also trying to resonate with people? And if we get too caught up with trying to impress other people or make other people happy, we lose that purpose, and we lose that skill set that we've been building on. So I think that you brought that home really well.
Thank you. It's true. We don't talk about that enough, you know, because it's just like, especially in this social media age, this age of fast food and things, it's just like, oh, I should do it based on what they like. And you realize that that's what I was even going to do in the first place. So being authentic is important. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was going to add, when you talked about, you know, you realize like when you're writing, you write and then you just like make sure you write like a writer. I didn't even know it was a part of me, because like, and it was someone that put a colleague just like looked and she was like, you know, Yancy, when you type in the chat, you're literally putting like the punctuations and all of that. Like, it's true. It has literally become a part of me.
Totally.
I'm like, go on.
When I text people, I write in proper grammar. I put commas, I put periods, I do these little things, you know.
So literally noticed that, like, I didn't even know that, you know, but actually, yeah, I put the commas, because like, I'm just like, yeah, that's how we write.
It's very funny.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Exactly. So Blessing, I know we're coming up on time here. So I just want to give you an opportunity to promote your stuff. I have a copy of all your books. So They Told Us to Dream. This is a beautiful, beautiful book. Very, very well written. I've read it twice already. Hopefully we did it justice on today's podcast. And then I believe it was last year or the year before, you came out with a series of poems and just absolutely, again, beautifully written. So where can people find you? How can people get in contact with you? I mean, go ahead and plug your social media and everything else you got.
Thank you so much, Quentin. You know, this is why we do what we do, because it's like, whoa, that actually went all the way to the U.S., you know? Thank you for buying the second copy of the second publication, because like when I did that, also, you know, I just had to put it out, because I was going through a period of healing. It was after COVID and everything. It was a lot. Now, what I'm working on next is the republishing of the two books, because like the game has gotten really like intense. I need to like just rework them. I'm working on redoing the covers and like the sizes, and I'm gonna put that out again. Now, where you can get the books as they are currently, you can get them on Amazon. Thank you so much for this bit of the podcast. So on Amazon, the first book is titled They Told Us to Dream. So that's They Told Us to Dream. And the second book is titled I Will Tell You When I Write About It. So I will tell you when I write about it. And if you go on Amazon, just like check out those two books and order them and give me feedback on social media. My brand is Blessing Shares. So Blessing, my name, Shares, SHARES. No space. So Blessing Shares is my brand. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. Please follow my YouTube channel, Blessing Shares on YouTube, and on Twitter, and definitely on LinkedIn also as Blessing Shares. I kind of try to keep it consistent across the platform. So Blessing Shares is my brand name. And my blog is Blessing Shares on WordPress.com. So check that out. Check out my writings, my poems. And what I'm doing currently, I'm just like trying as much as possible to put out, you know what, content on writing, publishing, because I started a community about 3 years ago to encourage female writers to write and promote their books and literally publish. And well, we literally put our content on YouTube, you know, on my page, Blessing Shares. And if you're looking to write, if you're looking for like inspiration, please go there, check out the latest video on how to write and publish your book. And this has been an amazing, amazing opportunity. I just like I'm happy. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Thank you so much, LinkedIn. It's a pleasure seeing you again. And I'm proud of you. I cannot say anything else. I'm really happy about what you're doing with the podcast and your business. Thank
I
you.
appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that. And I will put links to all of the Amazon books and then to all of your other social media accounts. We'll put them into the descriptions below.
Thank you.
Blessing, when I started this podcast, you were one of the first people I wanted to reach out to have a guest because I've always been super impressed with you. You are just an
Thank
incredibly
you.
authentic and genuine individual, and I'm so proud of you. You
Thank
inspire me to be the best entrepreneur that I can be. And so I hope that we can have another conversation. So let's stay in
Yes.
contact. Let me know when you have your next release and we'll run this back, okay?
Thank you so much, Clinton. It's been an amazing time. Thanks for having me. You inspire me too. I'm gonna keep going. Thank you.
My pleasure. All right. Thank you so much, Blessing. Thank you, everybody.
Before
Appreciate
we
it.
go, I have to say this. I'm
Yeah.
so sorry. I remember when you got a
Sure.
copy of They Told Us to Dream during the launch in Paris at La Défense. And you said you're gonna keep those books, you're gonna keep the autograph, because you're very sure I'll be a popular author. And then you're gonna tell everybody that you knew me.
Yeah, I told you. I was
I'm
impressed.
so proud of you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're
Bless
welcome.
you.
No, I meant that. I meant that genuinely when I was when we were talking. I'm very proud to call you a friend. So I'm excited to
Bless
promote
you.
your stuff, and we'll do it again when you
Thank
come out
you.
with more stuff. Okay.
Appreciate it. Let's go.
All right.
Have a great
All right, Blessing.
time.
See ya.